to member for.
Drive. Recorded.
Jim Pearson, member.
Nathan Bruce, Portland Vancouver Junction Railroad.
Neil Chambers, member.
Kent Cash, Railroad Advisory Board.
Randy Williams, BYCX.
Doug Auburn, BYCX, Dead Batters.
Dead Batters.
You had a comment about you or what?
He's got a dead batter, yeah.
It doesn't have a button, but it's still live, so it is hot.
Doesn't, on the green light.
It's green or red, but it should be hot.
How do you tell?
I don't know. Talk.
Go ahead. Go ahead and introduce the people on board on the video.
Let's go ahead and, Kim, can you introduce yourself?
Jim Malinowski, member.
Kim O'Hara, just a concerned citizen.
And my name is Kevin McDowell. I'm with the Prosecuting Attorney's Office, and I am a deputy prosecutor just here to observe.
Jackie Lane, do you want to have a mic check?
There we go. Yep, this is Jackie Lane, just watching.
Thank you.
We have some other people on there. Okay.
Councilor Young, do you want to, we're doing a roll call.
Sure, I'm just here to listen this afternoon. Could somebody please pay attention to if we have three councilors, I'll hop off.
Absolutely, thank you.
Say again.
They can't have more than three councilors in the room.
Oh, okay.
Is the video to the meeting room, is that available?
Can you see that at all in the view? I see more Jim than anybody else. There is
down
a live
at the
stream.
Bottom, on the screen.
Here we go. Can you see that?
That's better. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay, has everyone read the minutes?
Move to accept.
It's been moved in second. We accept the minutes as distributed. I just have one comment to make on there. There's a lot of acronyms in there. I need to see them written out because I can't remember those every time I look at them. So in the future, we'd like to have those written out. Any other discussion about the minutes? Anybody opposed to the minutes? We'll approve the minutes without exception. And Councillor Marshall just arrived in the room. Thank you for joining us. I have no specific comments. I'll make some comments later on when we talk about the work session coming up. So let's start with PVJR activities.
Good afternoon. Had a pretty good June. Numbers continue to trend up. No accidents, incidents, or injuries to report. I've had OTAC, the bridge contractor, out a couple of times during the course of the month. I think they're going to put together that bid here shortly. Towards the middle of July, they'll do an inspection on I-5 and 99 off the railroad tracks. We have hired a weed sprayer, started doing some weed mitigation per a county request. We also removed some trees that were adjacent to a customer's or a neighbor's property that was dead and looked like it might be getting ready to topple over, so we took care of that. Railroad's in good shape. Really kind of a quiet month. Not much else to report.
I didn't see a car count. Did that come in today?
No, I'll have Eric put one together and send it your way, or I can put one together later today. Numbers were in line with the last couple of months, so
okay.
Maybe slightly higher. I don't remember the number offhand, but.
Okay, any questions? How about BYCX activities?
We've been doing okay. We're still doing ongoing maintenance on the steam engine.
Can he get to a microphone?
That microphone in front of you. Can you hear me now? Nope.
Not really.
Get another mic. Hey, we got a good mic now. Anyway, working on the steam engine on its 1472 inspection. Hopefully, it'll be up end of July, first part of August. Doing some minor car cleaning and maintenance. We ran a runners group out on July the 2nd, early in the morning, a big group out there. It was a charter. This last weekend, we had a pretty good run, about 100 people on Sunday when I was conductor. Next weekend, looks like we're probably going to get robbed. Train robbers are, sounds like they're coming into the neighborhood. So we'll have to deal with that. Other than that, everything seems to be working okay. Looking forward to moving on through the season. I was contacted today by OTAC, and I'll be taking three structural engineers out to Bridge 20 next Wednesday. They said they're also inspecting Bridge 23 and 25 structurally. They'll do that between now and Wednesday when I'm able to run them out. I said I'll take them out in my personal vehicle because it's 2 miles on the rail, and they didn't want to walk and carry equipment. So other than that, anybody have any questions? We also met with a contractor on our building. PVJR was kind enough to recommend a contractor to us. So we are trying to move forward on our building, doing some value engineering to see where we can still get a building up, provided we can get a lease with the county that we need to put up the building to meet the grant requirements. The contractor was pretty good. He had some good ideas on how we could cut costs in our plans. So we're working towards that. And hopefully we'll get to see a maintenance building out there for us.
Do you have a lease contract now?
Or? We have a lease, but we need, do you want to elaborate, Doug, on the lease, what we need for the lease?
Well, state grants require control of the property for a 10 years minimum beyond the last payment made. And our current lease runs to 28. So when we sort this out, we'll have to have an extension of the lease to 34, 11 years, you know, to allow time, minimum of that.
What we're trying to do is work with PVJR to have, in essence, like a quit claim on the Y property in Yakult, everything but the main line. Then the county, or the previous county councilor, Bill Richardson, said that the county would be able to give us a 30-year lease on that land if we had that condition met. I know Nate talked to Eric today, and Nate and I haven't spoke to see what the outcome of that was, but that was a request we made to PVJR to separate the Y property. They still have use of the Y because that's the only Y on the track, and of course they have use of the shop that we built, but we want to get a separate lease for that, so it's we're more stable there.
Got it.
Anybody else have any questions? Thank you.
Are you doing anything on the county activities? Okay. Go ahead.
Yep, Danielle. I'm going to speak about the county activities. So GCB 3592, OTAC has completed survey for all bridges. They've completed the design review for bridges 6 and 12, and they're targeting 60% design in late August. GCB 1249, the grant update, the RFP for the roadbed rehabilitation funded by GCB 3592 and 1249 has been completed, and the contract negotiation is commencing. Railroad Bridge Management Plan Update, KPFF, working through the load rating analysis and the first draft of the Railroad Bridge Management Plan, inspections, tentative schedule for the third and fifth week of August. That's where we stand.
Okay, any questions? Before we go on, did Councilor Marshall, did you have anything you wanted to say at this time?
I would just say I had an opportunity to get out on the railroad excursion line yesterday with my family and had a delightful time.
Good. Councilor Young, did you have anything you wanted to add at this time?
Not today.
Okay, thank you. Let me move on to the bylaws. We have a consolidated draft that I have not read and gone through yet. I don't think John has either of you.
Oh, you got it.
So we will be going through that. Kent has graciously put together some scribblings and came up with what we hope is a pretty final draft of the bylaws. The next thing is the...
about August meeting, we're gonna have it.
Yeah. Oh, I don't. We'll talk about it in a minute. Yeah. The work session with the county councilors, as I understand, has been approved, and it's set for August 9th at 9 o'clock in the morning. And we've been John and I have met. To talk about how we want to plan it, and then we've had some discussions with county councilors, and hopefully finish up that tomorrow, and just to get some input from them as to what they want to see and what their hot points are, and how we need to present the information to them and get the best results from our meeting with them, and we'll work toward putting that all together and getting it to them on the 9th. As most of you know, I've been on the Railroad Advisory Board for 20 years, and John's been on it for 15 years, and so there's a lot of information floating around inside our heads and in the piles of paper I have in my den that we need to sort through and make sure we get the best information out of that and the most current information we can put together for that presentation.
And Jim has a question.
Jim?
How will that meeting be organized? Will all the board members have the opportunity to participate and comment?
I think it'll be limited to a few people. We plan on just John and I presenting. If we come to a situation where there's something that's needed to be added, that someone has a particular interest, we will look to do that.
Okay. Well, I would like to have the opportunity to comment if I want to.
Okay. There, I think there is a comment period. Any rate, then I guess that comes to a discussion of whether we want to have an August meeting. Typically, we do not have an August meeting. We take a vacation for a month off in August. And do I hear any discussion of that?
I move that we cancel the meeting in August.
Do I hear a second?
Okay, I second it.
All right, any discussion? Anybody have a burning desire that they want to be here in August?
Did you hear what happened about August 9th?
Yeah, no, I understand that. We will have a full,
You can be there August 9th.
Yeah.
It's a hybrid meeting, you know, even if you're not there, you can listen to it, you know, online.
Yes.
Wouldn't it depend to some extent on what the county says is the ability for the public comment in relation to when the county opens up the time for discussion? Maybe it's not that soon, I don't know.
Well, if the, when I say public comment, at least the last one we went to, the work session was closed. It was just, and then after that, they started another, the regular meeting, and then there was time for public comment on anything, not just what happened, what took place.
Is that the county allowed public comment? Is that what you're saying?
When they have their regular meeting, aside from the work session, there's always a public comment period.
I see.
But during the work session, there's no comment, public comment.
Yeah, there, and I anticipate that there's going to be a fair amount of discussion between us and the county council based on our conversations we've had today. So we get back to the question of where we're having a meeting. I guess nobody wants to have a meeting, right? Okay, we will not have a meeting in August.
Chair, is there another way to report out on the results of that meeting with the counselors to the board?
Meaning?
Rather than meeting in person, would you fill us in on how the conversation goes?
Oh, if we can capsulize it in a, in a brief memo, we'll try to do that, yes.
Okay. All right. It was fantastic. You should have been there.
Yeah, right. Or if we survive it, we'll report. all right. Do I have anything from the floor? Anybody want to comment? Let's go to the online people first of all. Anybody online wish to make any comments today?
I have none.
I don't hear anybody else. Okay, on the board, go ahead.
Jim, I think that new. Well, can you hear me, Jim?
Yes.
Yeah. I think it might be worth our time for, you know, you and Dan and I to sit down and talk about North County.
And how I'd love to. I'd love to do that. I'd love to do that. I think the future of the railroad is very important to us up in North County, and we want to do everything to make sure it's preserved and is made available for future use.
Yeah, I'm a little concerned the way the council is going right now, because they're talking about, you know, trying to cover every parcel between Battleground and Slashy Prairie in one fell swoop. And that sounds like a massive undertaking that'll take years and years. And
it sounds to me like a delaying tactic that shouldn't, is an inappropriate.
Well, maybe we can come up with something that will accomplish what they want to accomplish and do it in a more straightforward way that we can get accomplished a little bit quicker. And that's something that if we have that all worked out, maybe that's something that we can actually bring up when we talk to the counselors too.
Yeah, I think it needs to be recognized. It's a economic and historic asset that needs to be protected and enhanced. And it'll be a tragedy for the county if we lose that opportunity.
Okay. Anything else over here? Chad? Lloyd? Mark? Anything? I Anything else over here? Anyone back here?
Only at the point where I get my slugs in for the good of the order.
Okay, go ahead.
Oh, okay. So,
Yeah, your mic.
It doesn't work.
Thank you. We took you at your word last week, Dan, about your interest in a tour of both the Lagler area property and the HP property, which I've mentioned, and we're working on setting up, I think, what would be a valuable comprehensive tour for you and John. And I would just quote Jim Malinowski back to him. I think it would be indeed a tragedy if we go by this opportunity with this railroad and let it happen, because it won't come our way again. And what I'd like to do is to talk about the tour to some extent of the two sites. I've taken photographs of the site out east, and the only reason I know something about what Hewlett-Packard's intention is because the honcho out there gave a keynote address some 6 years ago at the Clark County Breakfast saying what their purpose of that site was going to be. And I think it's one that, for so far as I can tell, is not the public is not aware of. And it's hugely important if what he says is accurate. It's hugely important for the potential this community has of that site and the Lagler area property. So we're working on that tour, and we'll try and keep you aware of how it's coming together. And we'd love to be able to, Stephen's going to help with the Lagler property, and I'll be a primary person out there, because I've inspected that area out there and taken pictures of it. We'll make sure you guys get appropriate pictures.
Okay, good.
The second part of it is that this is a very complicated long-term challenge, and we have to look for an entity that has the deep pockets, the look at something that will take 4, 5, 6, 7 years to happen, and has that kind of mentality, and has the ability to work very sophisticated political challenges. And that's no small challenge in its own right, but that's essential, in my opinion, to have a situation like this occur. And we're going to have one opportunity, and this is according to Mr. Lagler. He's not willing to spend any more money on it. And I told him he shouldn't, but I would hope that he would be willing to spend some time when the timing is right. And he said he was willing to do that, but he's the only one in his family that's not skeptical about any possibility for developing that property in the higher tax return category, which is of essential importance to the community at large and the school system. And so finding the appropriate entity is a challenge in its own right, and there are ways to do that. I know some of them, and I know some potential entities, and I know how to find some others, but that in itself is a challenge. But time is not on our side, as you may understand. So that's essentially all I have to say, except for this. I hope that there is some substance in Mr. Temple's alternate opinion from his attorney about how to interpret the ability to do infrastructure outside the county urban growth boundary. I hope that's true, because that's an important hinge point for helping this to happen. I think the counselors in general, maybe, I don't know them personally, but they may be on board to do something meaningful for that property, but it's going to be a big challenge to do that. But I'm hoping that there's an opportunity at least to see if we can make it happen. That's all.
Thank you. Sure.
Ben, keep giving away your mic.
Taking it away. You know, so I agree with Jim that the railroad is probably, to me at least, vastly underrated for the potential to help the county via industry and everything else out there. And I'm just wondering, I mean, I know that we do the car counts and things, and that's valuable, and you know, thank you for doing that. But, you know, I'm just wondering if, you know, maybe there's another way to show, you know, some of the additional values of this railroad to the people of the county. And, you know, one of them is the car count, but, you know, most railroads will take a look at it in terms of revenue or whatever that's produced. I mean, to me, a member of the county, I'd be interested in what money flows back to the county, you know, because of the railroad out there and because of the industries that are out there. You know, we mentioned the property up north, if they got some industry in there, the values to the school system via the taxes and stuff. But we have a lot of industry already that's on the railroad line. And so my question would be, is there a way that we can go about figuring out, you know, like the jobs that are supported in those industries by the railroad, the, you know, the taxes that they pay and things out there already that are going on? Because I think if you see some of that, it gives you kind of a look forward or whatever, or, you know, what you could expect if the Langlois property was industrialized out there and what it might look like in the future.
Well, we've already done part of that with the property taxes on the property. And we took, when Burlington Northern came out, they said that if the Langlois property was zoned properly and had the rail improved, which we have now, it would be like the premier site on the West Coast.
Yeah.
And so I said, well, okay, well, premier businesses. So I just took three rail-sided businesses that are what I consider premier. One was Frito-Lay. One was Tetra Pak, which is right down the street. The other one is Vestner Gas over there on 78th. So I said, what are they assessed at? Because one, they got valuable property and they got a lot of equipment on it that's all assessed. So you take the current assessed valuation of the Langlois property because of the agriculture deduction, $3,500 an acre. The average Frito-Lay, Tetra Pak, and Messner, they're over $1 million an acre. Tax rates are a little over $8 per $1,000. You know, all of a sudden you just solve Battleground District's budget problem. You solve a lot of Clark County's budget problem, you know, just for that one development. Now that doesn't count the payroll taxes that come in, the sales and use taxes from the products that come in, the people that, you know, when Jeff Swanson was the city manager of Battleground 2 years back, back then, 70% of the people that live in Battleground and work drive across the Columbia River every day. You know, if we can bring some of those people back, that helps the traffic problem. It's just like they just pile up on each other. And the thing I'm most worried about is that stretch of property is right in between the urban growth boundary of Vancouver and the urban growth boundary of Battleground. You know, if not this go around growth management that's coming up right away, the next, it's going to be gone. It's like what 164th used to be. Or 162nd, you know, first of all, it was on the left, on the west side, got in there, the urban growth boundary, and boom, then on the east side, and it all turned into houses. And once you put houses, you're never going to have industrial property. You know, back at that time, I was saying, once you put houses, you're never going to get the gravel out from underneath them. So it's the same thing with the industrial property. Once you put in houses, it's gone. You know, and it's the same thing with, you know, with a lot of things. You know, you gotta be planning for that stuff right now, because it's going to happen real quick.
And the other thing with, you know, when you put houses on property, it's a net cost to the county to have houses there. You don't gain enough taxes to pay for the support for that development. Whereas the industrial property will produce significantly more taxes for the county coffers as you go forward. And, you know, it's not to say you want to put everything in industrial property, but at least have some mix of industrial property that makes sense for the county. And it does make sense to have in a large acreage, because, and I'll get this distributed to you, but we have this list of 19 requests of the CREDC in the last 2.5 years that requested railroad served property. It goes all the way from one requesting 100 acres and would potentially produce 10,000 employees. That's a lot of effort. And one that just was here in May wanted 500 acres, and they would produce about 1,100 and some jobs for people. So those kind of activities need significant properties. I mean, if you put one or two of them out there, it's fine, but if you have a space where you can get several of those properties out there, I mean, 500 acres takes up a big chunk of the Lagler property. And so if you get a few of those out there, you're producing a lot of money for the county coffers in property taxes, let alone the multiplier, the fact you have to have support people for all of those people that are working there. So it's a multiplying effect in the school district. John and I talked a few years ago to the superintendent and the vice superintendent of the Battleground School District, and they were absolutely elated if they could get that property producing property taxes like that for their school district. So,
you know, I personally feel we all understand that, but the public doesn't understand that. So it's an educational process, not just because if we say it from the railroad board, they're just going to say we just want the railroad. But from the county level people and the school level people to promote that, to say this is what it's going to do for revenue to help the tax base and help the school district. Because if we say it, people are going to go, oh, they just want the railroad. But if you come from the school district or the county, how it can help develop. My brother was a superintendent of schools up in the Puyallup area, and he tried to promote some industrial areas up there because of the revenue. He says, school, housing don't pay for schooling. It's the industry that pays for
it. Yeah, you sit there, and I mean, from the county's perspective, you know, the site is close to freeways. It's on a state highway. So, you know, the state is responsible for all the traffic impacts going through those roads, and it's on a rail. You know, I mean, there's no place in that whole North County area where you're going to have those things. You know, like one of the things that we have to talk about in North County is the infrastructure there. The infrastructure ain't the best in the world. You know, I'd like to find a business that, you know, has rail coming in and rail going out, so we're not tripping ourselves trying to approve all the roads in North County to get something approved. The only thing I can think of is the creosote plant, like they have in the Dalles. They bring in the raw timber by rail and they treat it and they ship it out. But I wouldn't want to be at those hearings.
So one
certainly
thing,
they're not trying to get it approved.
One thing that we might want to do is show how we would buffer said property from the surrounding areas. I think that's a real big concern for a lot of neighbors. And back in the railroad work group back in 2008, they took us out and we toured different places and showed how a berm would work and how you wouldn't even know what's going on behind that.
And I think, you know, and when we had the neighborhood group that went through the uses, we also went through the setbacks, and we made the berms higher, we made the setbacks more. But what works even better is a big parcel, because then the things that people don't want over their fence, you put those in the middle. you put, you know, if you put something that they really don't like I'll use an asphalt plant, that's what they always use. You put that in the middle of 750 acres, they won't even notice it. The example I use, like, you know, a lot of these environmental groups, like the Friends of the East Fork, that was started to fight one of my applications. Make long story short, by the time we were done, the heads of it, Dan and Lois Miller, they became really some close friends. And one of the turning points was out in Section 30, we're sitting in my office, a beautiful trailer, by the way, and about 150 feet away was an asphalt plant. And you know, we had her and John Karpinski and Dick Derlin, and I don't think Dave McDonald was there yet. I don't think he was really involved that much back then. And so we're sitting there, and they're talking about how, you know, loud and noisy and dirty and smoky an asphalt plant was. And I go, well, there's an asphalt plant right there. And they go, it is? And they go, yeah, and it's running full blast right now. No way. They couldn't even hear it. I said, let's get up. We got out of the office. We walked over the asphalt plant. Burner's burning. The rock's coming in. The asphalt's coming out. And all of a sudden, okay, these asphalt plants ain't like the asphalt plants they used to be. And then from then on, we started going, okay, what do you want to see next? You want to see a concrete plant? Let's go look at a concrete plant. And you want to see a rock crusher? We went and we looked at rock crushers. You know, and once they started getting an understanding for what was involved, then things started working real good. So now, Dan has passed away. Lois is, I still consider a friend. David McDonald, I still consider him a friend. And we disagree sometimes, but he's still a friend of mine. And Dick Derlin, he's still a friend. He's now the new head of the Friends of the East Fork. But you know, it takes a while. It takes a long time for them to understand what you do. And it takes a willingness on their part to actually take an objective look at what you do. But then you also have to build up credibility. And that's one of the things that worries me if Eric's going to try to do an end run around the county on something. Because then all that credibility that he's been building up may go down the crapper. And I don't want that to happen.
Nor do we, nor does Eric. I will say that obviously any pro-railroad that comes out of my mouth is biased. So we certainly lean on you folks to hopefully help spread the word that we're good for the county. We're good for the communities that we serve. Those are good, high-wage jobs. With the industries that we currently serve, anybody that is going to venture onto the rail line and set up shop, it'll be the same. Tax revenue. I mean, I could beat my own chest on how great the railroad is all day, but most of the time it falls on deaf ears because obviously I'm the big bad railroad. So
I've never been around that. I think it's real funny today. We were talking with one of the commissioners, and you know, a new neighborhood group is formed because of Knife River's concrete plant application. And they were talking about how, well, this new railroad is making all, you know, it's going to be making all kinds of noise. And we're like, you know, it's been a railroad for a long time.
Yeah, and I couldn't say we had nothing to do with the concrete batch plant enough. I mean, we had no stake in it. We were getting no business from where they were building it. I mean, potentially down the line, we could have got some, but no, we had nothing to do with that. But at every turn, it was the railroad and their concrete batch plant.
Where Knife River gets their raw material comes over by Gresham.
Yeah,
there's no railroad. They got to truck it.
No, and I mean, obviously, I'm an advocate for railroad growth. I think we need to be strategic. I think we need to be community minded. There's some entities and businesses that we wouldn't entertain, you know, regardless of the amount of money. I mean, we've got to live next door to it. I live in Le Center. I've got kids in school. You know, we want to make good strategic choices of who we bring on. We want to be good neighbors. You know, we've got a couple of pieces of property. We're currently in development. We go to the neighbors that are adjacent, ask, what can we do? We'll put up a berm if you think that will help mitigate the noise. We function between these hours, Monday through Friday. You know, we try to be good neighbors. You know, if there's something we can do, or, you know, we're transparent, we're willing to have that conversation. We're not the big bad mean entity that we're kind of.
What's really funny.
Yeah, I don't want to kill streams. I don't want to knock down trees. I want the county to benefit from their asset. I want us to benefit from their asset. Those work hand in hand. It's a win-win. That business is coming regardless. Portland's outgrown itself. We get calls every day.
What's really funny is, since Section 30 is down there by Southeast First Street, we built berms around it, plant little trees on it, and they built subdivisions next to it. And the first houses to sell in the subdivisions were the ones next to the rock pit. So they wanted, they liked looking out their backyard and see the berm with the trees on it. They didn't want to look it out into somebody else's neighbor or in somebody else's backyard. So.
Yeah.
Jim?
Yeah, I just want to weigh in on this a little. Pacific Gas and Electric sent me back for an 18-month assignment to a research lab in Philadelphia. We lived in an apartment right next to the Philadelphia, the Pennsylvania Railroad. That, along the main line of the Pennsylvania Railroad, that was one, some of the most expensive neighborhoods. There were estates that lined that railroad and that did not reduce the property values, and the railroad did not cause that many problems. And I think there's a lot of scare tactics going on where people are making claims that the railroad some kind of have this huge adverse effect, when the reality is there's lots of places where communities thrive alongside the railroads. And the other thing is, I've worked with Dick Dearland. Dick Dearland and I were both salmon habitat restoration project involved in that, and I think we need to protect riparian zones, and Dick and I worked hard on that aspect. He and I disagree on other things, but you can work together with these guys, but we need to be able to talk. But the main thing is the I'm convinced that the people that are opposed to the railroad are using scare tactics and claiming adverse impacts that really don't happen.
Not when two cars a week go by.
Yeah.
Well, it's just like, if you want to say the railroad hurts property values, just go buy a house along Highway 14. You got Portland Airport over here, you got the railroad, you got Highway 14, and the houses are $3.5 to $5 million a piece.
Yeah. Some of the most expensive houses in the county are down there along that stretch of the river. They're between the railroad tracks and Highway 14, or the railroad tracks and the water. But they're very, very pricey houses.
And I'm currently building brand new ones looking over the railroad tracks at the old gravel pit there, 14 and 192nd.
Fisher Corps, yeah.
Yeah.
I really have mine too.
I would say half of the neighbors adjacent to the line think the rail line is no longer active. I mean, that's how much of an impact, because we're there daylight hours, Monday through Friday. Most folks are at work. We're not out there on weekends. We're not out there at midnight blowing the horn, Move a couple of cars towards Battleground and back. I couldn't think of a more low-impact operation to our neighbors than what we're currently running.
Oh, Dan always gets complaints at the Board of Adjustment that they should lower their property values because those trains are coming through at night blowing their horns.
I wish that was the case, John. Unfortunately, it's not.
Okay.
Yeah, there's lots of people who come in there and say, well, that railroad track is terrible to me. Well, that railroad track, that one down there and this one up here have been there for over 100 years, so those houses aren't 100 years old, most of them. All right, anything else?
Hey, Dan, this is Danielle. Hey, just a reminder that we need to get all of the materials, presentation materials, to the counselor's office 10 days in advance of the work session. So we will have a template for you, but we need to get that stuff ASAP.
Yes.
I got a question. I don't know if this will make sense, but
you have a great resource with the railroad. We've decided, I mean, I've known it for years, and so does most of the people in this room do. But how do you, or with the county, and that we get this out to the public, like you said, the West Coast would be one of the best resources. How do you get it out to the to these people? I haven't heard anything about that. And I think it's time, maybe it's time for the county and this group to work together in selling this railroad just beyond Clark County. And I don't know if this is a time to do it, or but it's something that should be thought of on how you will do it. If you want people with big pockets, deep pockets, I think we may have to go out beyond the county. I know Eric has a person from Utah interested, but I think there's deeper pockets somewhere else too, because you got a tremendous resource here. And I'm talking all the way up to North County, down to the river. So anyway.
The biggest issue is there needs to be property available, and that's what we've got to focus on right now, is convincing the county council to dedicate some of that property for availability, and then you can get the deep pockets involved in the process.
Now, but if we could get some deep pockets committed, wouldn't that help in convincing some of the public that this is a good thing that's happening to the people of Clark County? You know, to where there won't be lawsuits coming at you in every different direction. There still may be lawsuits, but people will go, oh, this is going to help the schools. This is going to help us. This is going to help the traffic. And I don't know if there's a balance that way. This is something that I hope it can be discussed soon with this window we have. But anyway.
Yeah. No, I agree with you 100%. Yeah. Our budget's a little short, so.
Yeah. John, if I could just reinforce what you brought up the other week, is half of the Lagro property won't fly. Dennis himself says it takes more than half to grow the silage to feed his herd. And he said if there isn't the opportunity to do the whole package, and with him and some of his relatives and so forth, I think they have control of something like, well, it's in excess certainly of 600 acres, maybe 700 out there. And he said, if nothing can be done, he's the one member of his family that's holding out a little hope to give it one more try. He said the rest of his family is just skeptical that anything will get done. And he said, I'm not willing to spend any more money, but I am. I said, Dennis, I don't want you to, but I do want you to be willing to spend some time. He said, I am willing to do that. But your point about if it can't be the whole thing will just go down the drain and nothing meaningful will happen.
Yeah, now I have heard from a third party that Dennis may be willing to change that position. I haven't heard from Dennis, but I've heard it from
some. I guess it's not, I don't want to sound, don't want to say more than what I should, but I have some things that have passed between us that we've agreed to keep between us. And he just said, you know, if nothing can be done, it will revert to just a bunch of individual residential property development. And sure, they'll maybe be able to sell it at some point, but you know, they want to move to Idaho. They do.
Yeah.
And the governor wants them to.
And the thing is I think most people live right adjacent to the dairy where all the when they're spraying manure, all the downwinders be happy to see him leave.
That's true. Yeah. And he'd be delighted to make them happy.
Yep.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, anything else from anyone? Anyone online? Okay, do I hear a move for adjournment?
That's not in the budget.
So move.
Move, we adjourn?
Yep, aye.
Anybody object? We're adjourned.
Hey, Chad, has anybody come up with anything to do on?
Thanks, everyone online, have a good night.
Which one of you is texting the one that PAC trust does now?